This hour brought to you by GCNLife.com. Live younger, look younger, feel younger at GCNLife.com.
Welcome back to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
So I guess we've moved into, because I forced it with Randall, if there is an alien or an alien visitation project going on here where they are here, how far advanced are they anyway? And are we as smart as we think we are in trying to figure out their technology?
Is that for Randall?
It's for Randall first, but you can jump in. Yeah.
By the way, Gene and I get into this fairly regularly. And I have the view that within the universe that we occupy here, there's physical laws and physical rules, and there's a limit to the number of combinations of physical things that are out there. If we look at the periodic table of the elements, and even if we fit in the ones that we haven't found yet or have to manufacture, there's only so many of them, and they can only be combined in so many certain ways. And we can see all the way down now to the subatomic level using scanning electron microscopes and stuff like that. So when you can see down and manipulate things at the atomic level, there's really not much that you can't figure out. It might take you a while, but you can do it. So I think there's a certain ceiling to the possibility of technology in our universe. I don't think we can assume that something like Moore's Law can just continue on until infinity. There's going to be some point where all that can be invented reaches. Like, there's things that just can't be invented beyond that because we just don't have what it takes to do that.
But we've thought about that for a lot of years, I think some in the late 19th century. Figured that nothing more can be patented, yes, because we've invented everything, and you're just repeating it.
Well, I think we have a long way to go before that. Well, you know, we reach that level, but I can see how, in principle, that it could be true. How about, what do you think, Martin?
Well, I know we've taken a sharp turn north as far as technology goes since, you know, say 1900. Since the Industrial Revolution, but this last century and, say, mid-20th century forward, I mean, you see the advances. I understand what you're saying about a ceiling, but also keep in mind that Gene mentioned quantum computers. I mean, that's going to be a whole new ball game, artificial intelligence and all that, how that can grow beyond anything we can possibly imagine. You know, I had a sort of a UFO debate with Dr. Seth Shostak recently from SETI. And I think it's kind of a shame when someone of science can think that we've already discovered everything we're going to discover and that there's no way that anyone can travel the stars and, you know, physically can't be done unless there's an enormous amount of energy. And not thinking along the lines of just looking at us in the last 50 years and how our technology has grown and how it's going to replicate itself and grow beyond anything we can imagine. I don't know what the ceiling is going to be, but it's going to be a very high ceiling, I think.
The point being also, I think, that what you see in Star Trek is the 1960s view of what the 23rd century is going to be like. And I think we'll have surpassed that in 50 years for the most part, maybe except for interstellar travel.
Yeah. And, you know, I don't know about, what was that thing where they put you down on the planet? What was that called?
The transporter?
The transporter. I mean,
we're working on that now.
The molecules are taken apart and put back together. I don't know if that, I don't know. Who knows?
They've already made sure that when you do this, a fly doesn't come into the chamber.
Yes, I saw that. I saw that back, I think it was on the Twilight Zone first or something, or maybe just an early movie called The Fly. I think that's what it was.
Yeah, it was the original character. I think Vincent Price was in it, and David Hedison played the guy who becomes the fly. But obviously in Star Trek, the transporter is capable of reading your molecules and reassembling them down there on the planet. And it doesn't make mistakes, except when it throws you into an alternate reality.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, the thing is although we might think that something like the transporter is completely sci-fi, and it was invented as a convenience for the show, because apparently, and Gene, I think you probably, you know, could correct me on this if I'm wrong, but they just didn't have the budget to create the whole shuttle taking off from the ship and landing sequences and all of that, and so someone came up with the idea. I'm not sure who it was, you know, probably Nimoy, that. Yeah, let's try this out. And it worked really well. Well, now...
I don't think Nimoy, though. What Nimoy did, what he created for Star Trek is the greeting.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
They had this episode called A Mock Time, where Spock gets, quote-unquote, the seven-year itch.
Yeah.
Has to go back to Vulcan. And so he greets the High Priestess, and he used this symbol. It's based on something he saw in a temple. He was Orthodox Jewish, and he based it on something he saw in the temple when he was a child. So that kind of influence, but I think in terms of the transporter, it came out, as you say, because they couldn't afford to have all these elaborate special effects. They did what they could on a limited budget in the 1960s, and they made these sacrifices.
Well, according to some of the scientific articles I've been reading over the last few years, they've actually been able to transport things called buckyballs, which are, you know, slightly larger than just subatomic particles, teleport them from one place to another. And that is pretty amazing stuff. I mean, to transport something larger, like a human being, you know, they say would take the energy of a star or something like that. But, I mean, we've gotten really good at making things use less energy and become more efficient. So, I mean, who knows? Maybe it's possible.
Well, they've already thought of ways to possibly create warp drive without using planet or star-sized energy. So I would think they could scale it down and make it work. But isn't it interesting how that show has influenced so many scientific developments? There was a book out once called The Science in Star Trek or something like that. It's an approximate title, where they go over what they did in the 60s and what, of course, they might be coming up with based on that, from the StarTAC mobile phone to the tricorder, which would be like an iPhone and an Apple Watch, having all those sensors.
Well, you know, it's along the lines of, you know, you have your vision first, and then you try to create what it is you're visioning. And that also leads me to another thought, if it's okay if we diverse a little bit from that.
Proceed.
And that is to the stars. We were talking about them earlier. I've asked this question of Alejandro Rojas, just seeing what he knew about it, and that is, they say that part of what they want to do is to be able to observe and replicate technology. And I don't understand that. I mean, just because you would see, for instance, the Tic Tac out off the Nimitz make these incredible maneuvers, 28,000 feet down to a few feet above the ocean in less than a second. It doesn't mean if you observe that, how can you possibly replicate it by observation? I don't get that part of their claim of what they're intending to do. And I wondered what your thoughts were on that. I know you're interviewing me, but...
oh, no, this is a discussion. I mean, we're very unconventional here. We go back and forth, and sure. No, I think that's a really good question. What do you think, Gene?
Well, we're going to break in a few seconds, but there are no defined roles here. We've had some guests come here and interview us. Okay. You know, we will, from show to show, vary the pace based on what works best for that particular session. It could be just talking shop. We've done that, too. Here, it's three crazy guys sitting together and trying to figure out the meaning of the universe. More meanings of the universe. After these meanings, Martin, Gene, and Randall, you're in
the Paracast.
Attack of the Rockoids has been well received by critics and readers alike. It's a thrill-a-minute story you'll never forget. A former U.S. military intelligence officer is haunted by intense dreams about a beautiful woman pleading for his help after a terrible battle in outer space. But the dreams turn out to be true and thrust him into a telepathic love affair with a woman whose faraway planet is intent on destroying the Earth. And now the gripping tale continues in The Coming of the Protectors. It's the second book of the Rockoids trilogy, a galaxy-spanning adventure that pits our hapless heroes against powerful, fanatical enemies that threaten the lives of freedom-loving beings everywhere. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors, classic science fiction at its best, available now. For more details, visit Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids.com.
Join me, George Norrie, at the Health Freedom Expo October 25th and 26th in Tinley Park near Chicago. The Health Freedom Expo is an incredible weekend exploring the latest in natural and alternative medicine with more than 100 lectures, workshops, and exhibits. Meet leading experts including Patch Adams, Lisa Oz, Ocean Robbins, Doc Wallach, Aaron Elizabeth, and so many more. Plus, I'll host a luncheon and discussion on natural healing breakthroughs. The Health Freedom Expo can help you learn to achieve a naturally vibrant and healthy life. Join us to explore how you can take your wellness into your own hands and meet others who are doing the same thing. Get your tickets today at TrinityHealthFreedomExpo.com. That's TrinityHealthFreedomExpo.com or call 1-888-658-3976. That's 1-888-658-3976. TrinityHealthExpo.com or 1-888-658-3976.
This is George Norrie from Coast to Coast AM and History Channel's Ancient Aliens. We support the amazing energy, nutrition, and skincare products from Jeunesse. Jeunesse products are designed by leading doctors in their field with natural ingredients and even stem cell technology. These products help your body perform and look better. Shop Jeunesse at GCNLife.com or call 1-844-443-6637. GCNLife.com or 844-443-6637.
Have you checked your Google search results lately? Search results are usually the first impression that people form of you or your business. So make sure that they create a positive impression with Reputation Defender. What the internet says about you can have a big impact on your life and your livelihood, even if it's not true. Fortunately, you can now control how you look online and in online search results with Reputation Defender. Call 800-831-0771 now. That's 800-831-0771. For your free reputation analysis. If you have negative material from an ex-employee, upset patient, or former client, newspaper article, legal issue, social media, or other source showing up in your search results, you can combat it with Reputation Defender. Our dedicated experts in patented technology can help make your online search results look their best. Call 800-831-0771 to learn more. 800-831-0771. That's 800-831-0771.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
Martin Willis was going to segue away from what we've been talking about. What do you have in mind, sir?
Well, that was it, basically. I just wondered what you thought about the claim of observing a craft doing unusual things and their claim of TTSA saying that they wanted to observe so they could replicate. I don't understand the thought process of that.
Again, it goes back to what Randall and I were talking about. Just observing something doesn't mean you can duplicate it. You got to get your hands on it. We don't even know, and this opens up another can of worms, we do not even know if what we are seeing is the actual object or whatever. It could be something we interpret in the ways we want or in the ways that fit our cultural background. It could be something they are creating for our benefit because we could not understand them in the way they are. Who is to know? So how could we possibly base a technology with so many unknowables?
That's a really good point, Gene. We got talking about that a bit with one of our other guests, Kevin D. Randall, which I'm sure everyone here is familiar with. And I brought up the idea that maybe what we're dealing with this tic-tac, is our own technology, but it's not what we think it is. It's some sort of advanced countermeasures. And it may not even involve a physical craft, but something that just simply looks like one, a holographic projection of some kind. Something like that could be made to perform the way that it was observed to perform. And it would explain a number of other sort of interesting facets of that whole affair.
How would it show up on radar?
Well, radar can be spoofed various different ways. They do have training exercises where radar is spoofed. Plasma can show up on radar. And if you're creating a hologram using some sort of plasma, and this goes all the way back to something like the Benowitz cases where the Starfire Range, if you've ever heard of that, where they were doing experiments with particle beam weapons. So I don't think it's beyond the realm of possibility that we already have the technology to create holograms. Now, if we can spoof radar, create holograms, what more do you need? And I go with a rule of thumb, if we can create the technology, then we shouldn't jump to, oh my God, aliens, because it's more likely that it's something we created than it is something alien.
Well, I know,
but that's the whole problem. These days, how do you tell the difference? I don't know that, like Gene says, unless you get the craft and you get it into the reverse engineering lab, I don't know that there really is any way anymore to tell the difference between what we would call a genuine UFO and something fabricated to look like one.
Let me just try to get your thoughts there, Randall. You're thinking that this could possibly be a hologram image followed by plasma readings of radar.
You know, okay. Or other means of spoofing radar, depending on the situation, yeah.
And what would be the purpose to show up in front of a training situation with the Navy?
You just answered it. It's a training exercise where they were probably, now if this hypothesis is correct, it was part of the training exercise, only it involved technology that even people and most of the people within the training exercise weren't aware of because it's so super secret. And what you had there is you actually had some people on board the aircraft carrier, people who were responsible for monitoring the radars and the follow-up, the drives where they keep the data. People showed up and took those, what they call bricks, out of the ships.
Yeah.
And so it's as if they knew that this was already going to happen. There was also an incident where this tic-tac led the pilots back to their rally point as if it knew that they were supposed to go there after getting the instructions to do so. Now, who else would know that but people on the ship who were actually in part responsible for creating the training exercise, and the whole thing was a training exercise. I mean, that is indisputable. They just got this sort of mystery instructions to go, we've got this real-world tasking. But it's very possible, and in the past, this has gone on with the military, that they have had highly advanced technology that they've used as part of training exercises and other exercises that other departments don't know about. They had, for example, the Skyhook balloons, and that was a Navy thing as well. And they were reported as UFOs, and the Navy let them be believed to be UFOs because they didn't want anyone else to know what they were really doing. And so if we've got the technology to do this, well, maybe that's what it was. And Kevin D. Randall, he's a military guy. He says, you know, that makes a lot of sense. So who knows?
Well, Randall, I'm not buying it. I'm hanging up on you.
Yeah, okay.
Well, so, it's another possibility.
Yeah.
It seems like there's an awful lot to answer for. But, I like to keep an open mind, and, maybe that's another theory to look at.
Yeah. I mean, it makes a certain amount of sense. Now, I don't think, however, something like the Washington, D.C. 52 cases can be explained that way, where suddenly you have these craft or glowing balls of light that surround an actual jet interceptor that's been vectored to them on ground radar from two separate ground radar stations, and then has that jet lock onto it with its radar too. And back in those days, we just didn't have that kind of technology to be able to do that. So something is definitely going on. But these days, I'm not sure we can tell, what it is. The real thing from the fake thing.
Yeah. And, some of these, the specifics about what people saw had been happening for many years. And, there's a lot of people that will argue that all triangle sightings are, military, black projects that we just don't know about. And, I disagree with that. I mean, I think it's certainly possible that some of them are. But are you thinking along the same lines as that, Randall?
Well, I'm thinking more along the lines of, even where Gene was going, where he was saying, even if these are alien craft, we have reports of them shape-shifting. So now we have what's called active camouflage under development with our own military. And some of it is pretty amazing. So if you can get a craft that can make itself look like anything it wants us to think it looks like, then your original point of what can we learn from observing it becomes very, very challenging. I mean, when you've got a star or a meteor or something like that, okay, you could do a spectrographic analysis. If you've got something that's maneuvering in the air, you can maybe surmise a certain number of things from the principles of aerodynamics, that sort of thing. But if you've actually got aliens that can make their craft look like anything we want it to and do anything they want it to, or if it's not even real, some sort of holographic projection, whether it's our own military or the aliens, because they could be doing it too, there really isn't a way we can surmise what's going on.
You know what's going on? We got this break and more to come with Gene, Randall, and Martin. You're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Hunters, anglers, campers, and survivalists, get back to nature. Expand your horizons with the highest quality, most versatile, unique slingshots and slingbows on the market at slingbow.com. Slingbow products are compact and models start from just $17.98. They're perfect for your bug-out bag or storing in your vehicle. Give yourself and your loved ones the excitement and tradition of slingbow, a new frontier in archery and truly modern twist on this primitive survival tool. Feel the thrill only at slingbow.com.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. I started fighting the IRS over 40 years ago when they tried to seize my mother's house. I sued the IRS and won. I beat the IRS then, and I've been beating them ever since. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I've helped thousands of people deal with tax problems they thought might never be solved. I can help you too. If you owe taxes you can't pay, don't wait another day. There's no such thing as a hopeless tax case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com, danpilla.com.
USA Radio News with Wendy King.
Two key Trump administration officials have told impeachment investigators that they witnessed White House discussions with Ukraine, a meeting in the White House for an investigation of Joe Biden and his son. Meanwhile, President Trump continued his attack on the whistleblower.
So the whistleblower is a disgrace to our country, a disgrace. And the whistleblower, because of that, should be revealed.
The president's accusations about the whistleblower prompted the person's attorney to send a cease and desist letter to the White House, warning that as a direct consequence of the president's irresponsible rhetoric, their client's physical safety is now a significant concern. The lawyer for former National Security Advisor John Bolton says he has brand new information that may be relevant in the impeachment inquiry about meetings and conversations related to Ukraine. This is USA Radio News.
There's no question you need omega-3s. But which form should you take? Fish oil or krill oil? Scientists have debated this for years. Luckily, there's a new solution to satisfy everyone. It's called Krill Omega 50 Plus. It combines ultra-pure fish oil and joint-soothing krill oil together in just one tiny pill. It's so powerful, it can promote the health of your heart and your arteries. And if that wasn't enough, it can also boost your joint comfort in just days. We're so sure Krill Omega 50 Plus will work for you. We'll even send you a free bottle to put to the test. The debate is over. It's not fish oil or krill oil. It's both. And now it's free. Just pay $4.95 for shipping and claim your free bottle. Call now. 1-800-399-6392. 1-800-399-6392. That's 1-800-399-6392.
Have you checked your Google search results lately? Search results are usually the first impression that people form of you or your business. So make sure that they create a positive impression with Reputation Defender. What the internet says about you can have a big impact on your life and your livelihood, even if it's not true. Fortunately, you can now control how you look online and in online search results with Reputation Defender. Call 800-831-0771 now. That's 800-831-0771. For your free reputation analysis. If you have negative material from an ex-employee, upset patient, or former client, newspaper article, legal issue, social media, or other source showing up in your search results, you can combat it with Reputation Defender. Our dedicated experts in patented technology can help make your online search results look their best. Call 800-831-0771 to learn more. 800-831-0771. That's 800-831-0771.
Hi, this is Don Ecker, and you are tuned into the Paracast. Let me tell you what, you're going to hear stuff here that you probably won't hear anywhere else. Hear that, George Snorri?
We're having a good time here with Martin Willis of Podcast UFO. Been around the UFO field for a while. Of course, it may be that ET comes from the Q continuum, where they have full control of matter and can make anything into anything.
Well, you know, we were talking earlier, we touched on the Tic Tac UFO, the Nimitz case. One of the questions I had sent along to hopefully be answered is, why in this particular case were some people with seemingly less information being told to sign an NDA and people that observed it directly not? I mean, that to me, that's a real puzzle.
Well, I mean, it fits with the countermeasures hypothesis, because you might want some of it to leak out to your other enemies that you've encountered this type of alien craft and are studying it, are following up on it in order to keep them from thinking that you have developed those kind of countermeasures, right? In other words, if it gets out that it's some sort of advanced countermeasures, you've kind of blown one of your secret weapons, right? If it gets out that it's a UFO, well, that kind of throws a real red herring into the whole thing, doesn't it?
That goes back to the James Carrion theories back in World War II and beyond, the Rosetta deception and the Roswell deception, that we did a lot of these things to spook the Russians.
You know, another puzzling thing, and that is a name you probably never heard of, possibly Kurth. Have you ever heard of that name? Lieutenant Kurth.
Elaborate.
He was actually the first witness to the Tic Tac UFO. And you've never really heard anyone talk about him, right?
No, we heard like Fravor and
yeah, David Fravor.
You know, amazing. I mean, very believable.
Yeah. But Kurth immediately started working for Bigelow. And that's another big question mark. You don't hear
everybody ends up working for Bigelow.
But he's never talked about it publicly. You know, I don't know. And that was back in, I think he started working back in 2007 or something like that. I have that somewhere. Maybe it was 2000, maybe it was later, much later. But anyway, there's a lot of questions regarding that whole case. And, you know, the videos as well, you know, there's a lot of question about them. Did they have, it seemingly they weren't supposed to be released for public consumption. You know, so there's a lot of questions about that whole, the whole incident.
Or maybe that was the impression created. Oh, it's something secret. They weren't supposed to be revealed. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
You know, all of that sort of takes us off track from the central idea that, look, if we go back to the golden age of ufology, what people were seeing and reporting back then, you know, after World War II and into the Cold War, it was just beyond our technology period. There was just nothing that could have been made back then. Then we had reason to think, okay, aliens are here. Alien visitation is a real thing, and to take it really seriously. Maybe they're still here, or maybe they're really just, they've done enough searching and they packed up and they've moved on and they're no longer here. And what people are reporting are other things, something completely different.
Well, one of the things I've said on my show in the past that I kind of wonder, and it'd be interesting to hear your perspective on that, either one of you, is that, you know, with all the planets out there that could have, could support life that we're finding. I mean, if you do the numbers, it could be billions and billions, trillions possibly. And how many, you know, what's the percentage of those planets in particular that would have intelligent life? It's still huge. And this is all possibilities, of course. We don't know. But I mean, why, if that is the case, let's just say that is the case, that there's a lot of intelligent life out there. What makes us so special that we would be visited as much as we seemingly are?
Gene?
Maybe it's because they seeded us.
That's very, very possible. I'd like to tell a little story about that, because this goes way back to, the 1990s, long before I really was looking into the subject at all. I had an insurance agent for life insurance. He was over my house, and he said to me one night, he was in Vietnam, and then he said, you know, I was in a special force in Vietnam where we actually studied UFOs. And I go, really? You know, I mean, again, this was back when I wasn't even looking into the topic. And he said, yes, we were studying them during the war. There was a lot of visitations. And he says, and they also are very interested in nuclear weapons. He started telling, you know, a few different stories, and I was just baffled. And I said, why are they here? And he said, because we're a petri dish. He said, that's what the government, I asked him what the government thought. And he said that they think we're a petri dish. And this was, like I said, this was probably 1991 or two or something like that. Never been able to remember the guy's name. I've tried to figure out how to get in touch with him, but that was an interesting observation for me early on to listen to.
Yeah, actually. Well, it makes sense in a way when you think about it. If you wanted to do an experiment on living creatures on a planet, well, Earth is filled with life. Earth actually is a really special planet. So far as we know, we are the only ones that have complex life on it at this point. And not to mention technology as well. If you just get looking at, say, you know, videos like Blue Planet, or it's just amazing. Earth is an incredible world. I would turn the question around and go, why wouldn't they want to come here and visit us? Because it is such an amazing world. And I think we tend to take it way too much for granted.
But how many more amazing worlds are there? You know, there could be many, many, many billions. You know, it's possible, I'm saying.
Oh, yeah. And your guest, by the way, yeah, Shostak, right? He is now working with SETI. He's heading the program there. And he's done a huge turnaround in the last, in the last couple of years, where he's saying that he figures within the next couple of decades, we will find intelligent life, not coming down in flying saucers, of course, because he's still, you know, very not of that opinion that we are being visited or have been visited. But with the knowledge now that virtually every star out there has a planetary system, those numbers you were talking about have gone up substantially. And it's just a matter of us continuing to look and we will find them. And for him to say, you know, within a couple of decades, that's pretty amazing.
No, that's called a fun drive.
Okay.
Yeah. I sort of got into a debate with him about UFOs, and he said, give me one bit of UFOs that you could put in the Smithsonian Museum for evidence. And I said, all right, why don't you put black matter and dark matter in the Smithsonian Museum? You know, and I sort of got him there.
And good one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But
how did he respond to that? I guess
he said something about, well, we know the planetary, I forget exactly what he said, the planetary movements or something like that.
Right. It's all inferred by celestial mechanics. Yeah, sure. Well, I think we can infer with at least the same degree of reasonableness that the alien craft are real, too. I mean, what else is radar, like we were saying before, and visual for that matter, radar visual.
So, okay, but this guy's suggestion that it's going to happen 10, 20 years from now, it doesn't take much of a leap to then say, you know what, maybe they are here already. And we can go into that maybe in our final segment with Martin Willis. And that is possible if there's going to be a disclosure or something to disclose. It's happening before our very eyes. Martin, Gene, and Randall, you're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
As you know, neighbors, web hosting can be pretty cheap, but not all hosting is the same. DreamHost wins best of awards year after year. You get unlimited disk space, unlimited bandwidth, and even the low-cost plans put your sites on high-performance SSDs. Want to know more about what DreamHost has to offer? Go to technightowl.com/host. Once again, that's technightowl.com/host.
First game Attack of the Rockoids, and it was a critically acclaimed success. And now there is the Coming of the Protectors. A former military intelligence man is contacted by a space woman in a dream. A dream that turns out to be a nightmare, because evil forces on her distant planet are planning to conquer the Earth. This is gripping science fiction of the classic kind. Attack of the Rockoids and the Coming of the Protectors. Find out more at Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids, Rockoids.com.
Most of you know that heart disease is the number one silent killer in the U.S. What if I told you for just $54.95 a month you could fight against heart disease naturally? At Heart and Body Extract, we've been helping thousands of people get back to a healthier heart. Don't just take my word for it. Check out all of the success stories at hbextract.com. Or to order, call 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. hbextract.com. Don't risk it when you can take charge of it.
With more people listening to radio than visit Google, Facebook, or YouTube. From the very young to the very old, everyone listens to radio. Pillow companies, alarm, identity theft, nutrition, insurance, banking, automotive. The list goes on and on. Billion-dollar businesses. Why? The answer is radio, the media everyone tunes into. Find out how effective and affordable radio can be for your business. Contact 877-996-4327 or advertise at gcnlive.com.
Hey everyone, Proactive MD has an incredible offer for our radio listeners only. Stay tuned for our exclusive offer that includes a free charcoal pore cleansing brush and free shipping. Proactive MD with prescription strength adapalene can heal and prevent future breakouts. Today, for just $19.95, we're offering listeners the three-piece Proactive MD system with free shipping, plus a free gift, the new charcoal pore cleansing brush. Get this exclusive offer by calling now, 1-800-583-8662, or go to proactive.com. ProactiveMD.com and enter promo code radio. You heard right. ProactiveMD plus free shipping and a free gift. The new charcoal pore cleansing brush. You'll get all this for just $19.95 and their 60-day money-back guarantee. You're guaranteed to get clear and stay clear, or you get your money back. Call now. 1-800-583-8662. That's 1-800-583-8662. Or go to ProActive.com and enter promo code radio. Again, go to ProActive.com and enter promo code radio.
Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
$92,000.
Ouch. The IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks. So it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So, how'd it go for Jake?
They did what they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.
This is Leslie Kane, and I'm with the Coalition for Freedom of Information, and you are listening to the Paracast.
Folks, we're continuing here with the final segment of the Paracast with Gene Steinberg, J. Randall Murphy, and Martin Willis. And the topic of the ages here is, are we undergoing a gradual disclosure now? You know, so many people in the UFO field have said, we need the government to reveal what it knows. Going back to Major Kehoe, possibly before. Going back to the 1950s, wondering here whether we just keep doing this over and over and over again. So considering that, is it possible that it's been going on? We discover the possibility of exoplanets, life-bearing planets. How many leaps does it take to go from there to, okay, I guess they're here now?
I saw there's a video, it might be on YouTube or something like that. It was filmed sometime in the 1950s, and there was an older gentleman there with a derby. He said something like, I really feel like we're really close to knowing. And he said, I just want it to happen in my lifetime. And I wonder how many people have said that, you know, over the years.
Well, we old conjures, I speak for myself. Kind of sort of hope it's going to happen soon so we're around to see it. Or maybe E.T. Yeah. will come here and bring us stuff that will make us live longer. Now, Randall is younger. He's not a young whippersnapper, but, you know, he has a little bit more time. I have no idea of your age, Martin.
Over 60.
Well, then you don't have much time either.
Well, we're all over 60 here on this show. And
okay, you know, just think of it this way. This show... this week, our guest list and the hosts are all old white men.
Yeah, it's a sad state of affairs, isn't it? Well, you know a lot, actually. That's the thing. I mean, you've been around since the golden era of ufology, Gene. It's amazing.
I've been around
actually.
Forever, and I wrote the very first. No.
I mean, when we're gone, when our generation is gone, that's when we move into the whole next era of ufology, you know, the postmodern era. And that's going to be happening, what, around, I think if I calculated it all out correctly, somewhere around 2020. You know, we're moving into that now.
2020, I think I'll be around, possibly.
I don't know how many young people are actually at conferences, but I do know that, I don't know if you ever run analytics on your podcast, but when you get the demographics, there are a lot of people 18 to 25 that are listening.
It's so more difficult for us because it's not just the podcast. We're on a regular radio network, and mm-hmm. they distribute the podcast too, and they stream it on their site. So it's a lot of numbers that have to be coordinated, and sometimes they don't come as easy as we want.
It's very rare for young people to, like, get out and drive and go somewhere. But there are young people that are you know, watching things on YouTube and listening to podcasts, things like that.
They will go to Comic-Con.
Exactly. They that's where you'll see them. They will get up and make the effort to go and dress or whatever it is they're doing, but they do show up there. I spoke to someone in the UFO field, I forget what it was, and they said that they were actually going to be at a Comic-Con with a booth. And I said, that's brilliant. You know, that's a good idea. You know, there are definitely young people going to those. And I think that's the exception out there as far as young people go. You know, you're talking about disclosure, whether soft disclosure, I've heard people say, call it, you know, is where we're at. I don't really know if that's the case. It will be interesting. I'm glad I'm in this now because I feel like there is some type of forward movement. I just don't know how far it will go.
No, you know? Bassett feels like there's going to be disclosure. He's moved his offices to Washington, I believe. So
yes.
I think you made a really valid point back at the beginning. Some people already think there's disclosure. I don't think we need it. People who are in the know, people who've studied ufology and done their homework and are reasonable people, it's just unreasonable not to think that alien visitation is a reality, or at least has been in the past. But like I was just saying, we had the early modern era and then the modern era, and then the postmodern era is coming up. We're getting into 2020. It's almost like science fiction. I'm writing the dates down now, and I'm going, I can't believe I've actually lived this long to see all of this stuff. If we go, say, from 1947, I think the sort of the exact year we're looking at is around 2027 based on current life expectancy rates. But, I mean, you know, 2020 is where it's going to start. By 2030, there's going to be hardly anybody left who actually remembers anything from 1947. There's people that don't even believe we landed on the moon in the 60s.
Hmm.
There is a new TV show on the Apple TV Plus called For All Mankind. It was produced by Ronald D. Moore, who worked with Star Trek and did the reboot of Battlestar Galactica. And the theory goes as this, that the Russians beat us by a month to the moon. What are the consequences?
Hmm.
That could be a fun show to watch, kind of like, you know, what happened if John Lennon had never been shot or the Beatles never existed. I mean, I do love the, you know, some of the premises of some of the entertainment out there. But this is a really very serious thing that we're talking about. I mean, if alien visitation only happened back in the 40s and now we can't tell if it's really going on or not, and anyone who was alive back then to remember it and have firsthand accounts of it are gone. We may never know what really happened.
Are you talking about specific cases or are you talking about in general?
Whether or not actually Earth has had alien visitation back then when we who do the studying know that it must have gone on and have had our own UFO sightings up to a certain point in history, right? When I had mine, it was back in the 70s. I don't think we had any technology back then that could duplicate what I and my friends saw. But as we move into the 90s, the 2000s, the 21st century, we can't know anymore. So all of the sightings that happened back when people were alive, these people are getting old. They're not going to be around that much longer. People saying the space program and the landing on the moon never happened, how are people supposed to believe alien visitation was real? I mean, this whole thing, Earth may have been visited, and future generations may never, ever know. Disclosure may never happen.
Well, it depends there on whether it's something to continue to disclose. I mean, it doesn't have that romantic allure if we say, well, you know, at one time we were possibly visited by beings from other planets, but they left us for whatever reason. Maybe they just didn't like us. Maybe they our body odor. What we're going to have to do in terms of leaving is to end this program in the next few minutes. So, Martin Willis, please tell our listeners if they want to know what you do, where do they find you?
All right, well, I have a YouTube channel that's Martin Willis Live Shows, because I actually do some live shows on the antiques on there as well. And then podcastufo.com every Tuesday night at 6 to 8. It's kind of early for the West Coast because it's Eastern time. Live streams of the podcast is available. The full podcast is available to subscribers or through Patreon. 1 hour podcast is always free. And again, it's every Tuesday, and have some interesting guests on, and we talk like this, conversational.
Thank you. You can find us on Twitter if you look for the Paracast. Check two official Paracast fan clubs or communities or groups or whatever's on Facebook. We also have a subscription service too, and it's called Paracast Plus. And here's how it works. We give you a version of this show, full show, free of the network ads, because we run the same number of ads as any other network radio show. So this is network ad free, enhanced quality audio, so all the other guests sound better. I sound the same, don't know why. We also offer a special add-on called After the Paracast. After the Paracast could be color commentary, extra interviews, guests saying, you know what, we're going to continue for another 30, 45 minutes uncensored. No FCC limitations with After the Paracast. And one more thing. Martin Willis will return on this week's episode of After the Paracast. To learn more, go to plus.theparacast.com. Once again, that's plus.theparacast.com. Martin Willis, it's good to have some sane people like yourself involved in UFO research and broadcasting. We need more of you. Thanks for joining us on the show.
Thank you very much. It's been a real pleasure.
The Paracast, featuring Gene Steinberg, is a copyrighted presentation of Making the Impossible, Incorporated. Tune in next week for a new adventure in The Paracast.
You are listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Attack of the Rockoids has been well received by critics and readers alike. It's a thrill-a-minute story you'll never forget. A former U.S. military intelligence officer is haunted by intense dreams about a beautiful woman pleading for his help after a terrible battle in outer space. But the dreams turn out to be true and thrust him into a telepathic love affair with a woman whose faraway planet is intent on destroying the Earth. And now the gripping tale continues in The Coming of the Protectors. It's the second book of the Rockoids trilogy, a galaxy-spanning adventure that pits our hapless heroes against powerful, fanatical enemies that threaten the lives of freedom-loving beings everywhere. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors, classic science fiction at its best, available now. For more details, visit Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids.com.
Extendivite really works. Just listen to what Dr. Joe has to say.
As you know, I'm one of the doctors that Don talks about, because 4 years ago, I was diagnosed with high blood pressure. Runs in my family on the mother's side. You know, I come from an athletic background. You know, I did a lot of running throughout my life, and I did triathlons. When I was trying to run some years back, I was getting short of breath, which is a little bit of a congestive heart failure. The Extendivite, that shortness of breath and that coughing started going away, and I was able to run longer and longer distances. And it took a while, though. So now I'm able to do, you know, 3.5 miles with my dog, and no problem. I don't stop. Not anymore. So I'm just saying, you need to stick with the program, and you've got to change some lifestyle things, too.
To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822, or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendover.